It's on. Hello? Yeah? Cool. Phew. Thank you. Thank you, honey. Wow. I'm honored, guys. I want to say thank you. You know, what? This mic? Or this one? What's... Oh, hi, I'm Rick. Okay, thank you, guys. I want to say I'm honored, you know. There's definitely nobody clapping for me, you know, some time ago. And, you know, saying, oh, Rick's here. Woo, yeah, right. Lock the door, shut the lights off. That blank dope fiend's here. You know, I want to say thank you to my higher power, first off, first and foremost. Thank you to Cocaine Anonymous and the 12 Steps. And Rick, thanks for asking me to come up here, you know. I'm going to be honest, you know, it's coming time to get my butt ready and get up here. And I'm like, oh, no, I can't. I don't want to go. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I got this pimple on my nose, you know. All right, man, you know, it's just all kinds of stupid stuff, you know. It's the stuff that plays through our heads. And, well, through my head, I'll speak for myself, right? But you know what, I'm truly honored. Thank you, guys. My name is Rick. I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. I'm a dope fiend. That's all I'm gonna cop to tonight. But no, you know what, when I came here, I didn't know how to live life. I didn't know how to, I thought I just did a little too much cocaine. You know, I drank too much, I did too much cocaine, and that was my only problem. My major problem was the cocaine, you know, and I found out that I qualify for a whole lot more, you know. I like power, money, sex, whatever it might be, you know. If it makes me feel better, I want it. If it makes me feel worse, I want it. You know, I found that I could be like the poster boy for, I heard another guy say this at a convention, a whole pile of crap wrong anonymous, you know, and I'm grateful that I'm here today. Anyway, you know, to qualify, you know, I remember as a kid stealing quarters from my mom. And the one time in particular, you know, I'm stealing quarters from my mom, running to the gas station down at the corner to buy candy bars or whatever out of the machine, you know. And I remember her chasing me the one time and me throwing the quarter in the bush. No, I don't have a mind, you know. And, you know, no, not me, you know. And that was me, you know. What do you got and more, you know? What am I gonna do, you know? And that's where I lived in Chicago. Went started grade school there, and then in fourth grade we moved out to Crystal Lake, a suburb of Chicago, about an hour away, and it seemed very far. And I remember Mom saying, because Chicago's bad, you know, keep us away from the riffraff. And you know, me and two other brothers, and I had a little sister. And little did she know, later on, her boys were the riffraff. You know, out in Crystal Lake, we got in a lot of trouble, you know, and it's where I learned how to do drugs. The first time I ever did any drugs was between eighth grade and freshman year, riding around in the back of a pickup truck. The older people, the older guys, well, the guys that had licenses, woo, real old, huh? They're driving and they're smoking this pot, you know, and passed it back to us. Okay, we're smoking weed and driving around this pickup truck, laughing, giggling, you know, having fun. And stopped at McDonald's, ate a bunch of cheeseburgers, went home, and said, man, I woke up the next morning, said, I want to do that as often as I can. And that's what I proceeded to do, you know. I want to say by the end of freshman year, which I was supposed to graduate in 1980, so just to date myself, I'm 50 years old. I just turned 50, and I'm grateful for that. Because I remember my mom saying that, you're not going to make it to be 17. You're not going to make it to be 18, and so on, you know, in 19, and every time I go, no, 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 I made it, you know? And yeah, I got goosebumps, man, just saying that shit, stuff. Anyway, by the time freshman year was over, I had tried every drug that was available at that time. You know, there was the LSD, you know, coke and morphine, I think they called it, angel dust, and, you know, some kind of, I don't know, heroin of some sort. I don't know what it was. We snorted the stuff. I never shot anything, but then we tried that too and didn't like it. I'm afraid of needles, kind of like the wimpy drug addict, I guess, but, you know. I was just afraid of it, so I didn't do it. So anyway, that was my introduction to drugs, man. You know, like I said, riding in that pickup truck, no consequences, fun, you know, young teenager, and I can eat cheeseburgers, I like cheeseburgers, you know, and that's where that happened. But it soon quickly progressed to, you know, getting your driver's license and having your driver's license suspended within, you know, a month after having it, you know, and things like that, and DUIs, and, you know, trouble in school, and then more trouble in school, and when you just go to school for, you know, you didn't go to learn, put it that way. We went because there was an area in our school called Smoker's Corner, and it was more like a drug flea market, you know, similar to the woods. Remember the woods, how the woods used to be? And, well, I don't know how they were in Milwaukee. It looks like they had some drugs in Milwaukee. There's a lot of guy people in here, huh? There must be some dope up here in this town that made, like, beer famous, right? Anyway, you know, I proceeded with life and did a lot of, you know, I moved to Chicago. I from Crystal Lake, I moved back to Chicago when I turned 18. I dropped out of high school because, you know, I got busted with some cocaine and I had a bunch of run-ins with the law, put it that way. And the judge said, if he sees me again, I'm going to go to jail. And I didn't want to go to jail. I turned 18 and I started into what I do today. I fix elevators, and I started my job, you know, my career, and lied to get in there, you know, because you were supposed to have graduated, and, you know, went on to school for that. But I moved to Chicago and got with a bunch with the tradesmen, and holy cow, these guys, you know, I fit right in. I can do this, you know. They drank, they did drugs, they. All of it, man. Then I ran into a Colombian dude. And no, some guy came over and we're hanging out by my house and he's got this thing he calls an eight ball. Okay, and he's putting these lines on the table and we're snorting them like all night, you know. And wow, this is cool, you know. Immediately, my head's saying, what are these? I want one of these eight balls. I want my own. The next weekend, I had my own eight ball and did the same thing. You know, and it was cool. It was fun, you know. Stay up, party, drink, you know. And it was a weekend kind of thing, you know. But that quickly progressed into maybe a little bit on Wednesday, you know, or whatever day it may be, you know. And then from there, the lights were cut off. The gas was shut off. But I'm still okay because I don't live under the bridge. You know, I'm not out there begging for money. But when you, and I'm a crafty little drug addict, so I know how to turn the lights back on. I know how to turn the gas back on, and they know how to shut it right back off. And so we played that game back and forth. And then, you know, they'd come and, man, no, one day I came home and they dug the pipe up in front of my house between the sidewalk and the street, so I couldn't even turn the gas back on. Oh my God. I had to pay the fucking bill. Anyway, that took away from my cocaine use. this stuff proceeded for many years. I thought I had it all together. I'd buy another house or, patch my life together enough to live here, live there, different apartments. I thought I had it together when I, somehow, some way, be able to buy another house or something. And it's like, oh my God, I'd end up snorting it, I'd end up drinking it and not realizing that this was a problem, And, my work enabled me an awful lot too, because I guess I was kind of like the guy that was born with a 9/16 jammed in his ass, and work was relatively, it just came natural, and I went to 3 different drug treatments through work, and the union paid for it all, and I remember my boss asking me questions like, this old German guy, Rixa, do you, did you do snorting? And I'm like, well, now I got to come up with an answer, right? And, I've tried just about everything there is, and, let me ask you, do you have a problem, Oh, no, man, I got it, I can handle this. And no, I have no problem. And how many times did I say that? No, I have no problem. And my lights are getting shut off, or the gas is off, or I'm getting foreclosure notices, or all that kind of stuff. You guys know what happens. I had the one house, I had stained glass windows in. I took them out to sell them for cocaine, what do you do with the big hole in your house now, Well, I'm high, I got time to cut boards and cover the window up, Just crazy thinking, and crazy stuff that went on. This proceeded for an awful long time. I'm on my third place, my third house, snorted my first two. I'm snorting my third one, man. And here's a little bit of a hillbilly story. I go to help my brother's ex-wife move, my nieces and nephews, and I end up hooking up with her sister. And, two people are drinking and drugging and, all right, all of a sudden, little Ricky's on his way, my son today. And, same thing. What about the cocaine? Oh, don't worry, honey, I got this covered, and it was terrible. Now we ended up getting married. She quit using while she was pregnant. I continued, of course. But I didn't do cocaine. I'm going to Cocaine Anonymous meetings and thinking it's okay to smoke pot. Not 2 hours before the meeting, though. But have one in the ashtray waiting for you. Drinking, that's okay because I'm going to Cocaine Anonymous meetings. So Jack Daniels and acid, that's okay. This is my thinking, man. Today I realize how terrible that was. But anyway, I'm going to meetings and the guys are laughing at me, And I'm like, all right, man, but I'm here, I'm thinking I'm okay. And I'm drinking giant cups of coffee. And needless to say, you guys know that doesn't work. My son comes. The day he was born, I left the hospital and got high. Stayed up all night, came back the next day. Needless to say, the cops are in and out of our house on many occasions. The fighting, the arguing, the all the stuff that happens when you're using and not doing what you should be doing, man. What it boiled down to was she had left with my son I'm sitting at the table, sitting on my couch. I'm drinking, I'm smoking, I'm snorting, I'm eating pills, I'm doing everything that I could think of. I got all these pictures spread out on the table, and I'm crying. Look what my life's become. Look where I'm at, you know? And there's a whole lot of stuff in between. You guys know this part, you know, all the stuff that we do when we're out there. But this was the last time, right? You know, I still had dope. I still had booze. Still had weed. But I just couldn't do it anymore. They had all these like TV commercials for Parkside, Lutheran General. It's a hospital in Park Ridge, you know, northwest side of Chicago, let's just say. And I made a decision that night. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get sober. I can't live this way any longer. I was born at Lutheran General Hospital. My son was born at Lutheran General Hospital. And I said to myself, I'm going to get reborn at Lutheran General Hospital. I'm going to go and do whatever they tell me to do. So, you know, the next day I called and I said, come on in, you know. Okay, I go in there, you know, and I got my little bags packed. I'm like thinking it's going to be like the other treatment centers I went to. Like you stay for 30 days or whatever it is, 28 days, and see you later. They boot you out, right? And this guy says, well, come back tomorrow. He asked me a bunch of questions, you know. You know, how much cocaine do you do? Oh, I do a little bit, you know. How much booze do you drink? How much, you know, how many, you guys know what they ask you. And, you know, he's like, well, I suggest that you go live in these sober living apartments across the street. And, you know, my first response is, you know, my dog needs me, my wife needs me, my kid needs me, you know. And he just looks at me and goes, nobody needs you the way you are, man. And I'm like, all right, well, how much does it cost? How much money did you spend on cocaine? You know, I'm like, oh, I guess I'm on my way, man. So I went and stayed at these apartments. And that, you know, that was the best thing I ever did. Because right across the street was Lutheran General Hospital. They held an awful lot of meetings there. And I got introduced to the program. I knew I wanted to come to Cocaine Anonymous because that was my drug of choice, so to speak, you know. On the other hand, it was what he got more, but I didn't like heroin. Cocaine, LSD, and, you know, marijuana, booze, those were my drugs, man. And I didn't know how not to not use. I didn't know how to live life without using, you know. So anyway, I went to these apartments and started going to meetings. And it was great because I went to a place where all the other people were striving to do the exact same thing that I wanted to do. You know, everybody was trying to stay sober. Now, did everybody stay sober? Absolutely not. Grateful that I did. Thank you, God. You know, thank you, all you great people. And Cocaine Anonymous. But I got a real good introduction to the program. You know, naturally, the 90 and 90. Do 90 meetings in 90 days. At first, it's like, oh my God, how am I going to do that? But, you know, if it was do blow for 90 days, okay, I can do that, you know. It was very cool because I got the greatest introduction to this program. And you know what? It was easy. Once I quit thinking and let go without reservation, quote, without reservation, man, you know, that was, every time I had little reservations that I could do this, but I can't do that, like such as I could do some LSD, but not do cocaine, you know, or whatever it may be, it didn't work. But once I let go without reservation, this program became easy. Anyway, now I'm living in these apartments, I'm making a lot of meetings, And the thing was, this treatment center, this time it was different because it was like I could go to work and come back. And wow, so it incorporated like regular life with the treatment center, because before it was like you're locked in and it was easy not to get high when you were, couldn't get out and go get no shit, you know? So, all right, man, this time was different. This time it was different in here. You know, I knew what the heck was going on. No, I didn't know. I still don't know what's going on, but all right, man. Woo, quit lying. Oh, man. Yeah, I took the suggestions this time, though. I took the suggestions with the desperation, like the big book says, of a drowning man. You know, come on. I was definitely drowning. I couldn't read. I could barely spit out a sentence. There's no way I'd be in front of you guys saying anything, you know? And, you know, if I think about it, it's just by not doing what I shouldn't have been doing in the first place, life becomes great, you know? Incorporating God and the steps into my life, life has far surpassed anything I ever thought it was going to be like. But back to what I did. I made meetings. I remember them saying, get a sponsor, you know, and do your 90 and 90. So I'm making meetings. I get a sponsor. And not just that sponsor that, yeah, I got a sponsor. I call my sponsor every day, you know. And sometimes in the beginning, actually even today, sometimes multiple times throughout the day, you know. Started working steps. Did I know what I was doing? Did I think about it? I thought about it way too much, you know. I looked at all them steps on the wall. Oh my God, that's overwhelming, you know. No way. But a little bit at a time, I had that concept. Because I didn't turn into a drug addict overnight. I wasn't going to get sober overnight, you know. I just started doing what they told me to do, you know. I remember I'm in a meeting, and, you know, get on your knees and pray. Well, I'm going to do it my way, man. I'm going to lay in my Lazy Boy. I'm going to crank Van Halen. I'm going to read my 24-hour book and say, yeah, yeah, God, right on. I got it. Okay, cool. So I'm in a meeting and I'm sharing this bullshit. And I'm saying, yeah, I'm great. Ain't I great? Yeah, look at Rick, you know. He's praying. He's doing what he's told. I'm doing what you guys are telling me to do. And some of you guys know Larry. He grabs me in the middle of the meeting and says, or at the break, right? Grabs me outside in the hallway and says, hey, man, what are you doing? And I told him, I'm doing what you told me to do. Isn't this great? Yeah, give me a hug, you know. And he's like, no, man. You read your 24-hour book, you get on your knees, you humble yourself to a power greater than yourself, and diligently say a prayer. Oh, man. Yeah, okay, I'll do it. And I got to do it because this is a program of rigorous honesty. And I'm going to see this guy in like 3 days or 2 days, you know, at the next meeting I go to. And he's going to ask, are you doing it? And I can't say, yes, I am, if I'm not doing it. So I got to do it. You know what? I just started doing it, getting on my knees and asking God for help, saying thank you at night. And it didn't seem like it was working at first, you know, because I didn't know what the heck was going on, man. But now, I wouldn't miss it for the world, you know. If I don't wake up, read my meditation book, I read a different one now. If I don't get up and read my meditation book, pray, I got to get some God in my head before I get there, man. Because once I get there, who knows where I'm going, you know. And the way my day goes after I pray is phenomenal. You know, and today I have such gratitude and humility that it, like I'm going to say it again, far surpasses anything I ever thought it was, would be like. I didn't know anything about this. You know, I didn't think there could be a life. You know, I thought your lights being shut off, your tires being flat, your fenders being crushed in. Look, clothes, no holes, man, you know? No way. I didn't know that, you know? I remember going and borrowing money from my dad. He's like, get out of here, you peed your pants, you know, you're like, go. And he'd hand me some. Yeah, just, you know, Cocaine Anonymous, my higher power, you great people saved my life, because I would truly be dead. I know this for a fact. And, because there's no way anybody could do what I was doing and still be alive. You know, today, I've been through this program. That woman, that's my son's mother, we're divorced. We were divorced real quick after that. That wasn't really meant to be. It was, you know, oh boy, something to do in the moment while you're getting high, I guess. Then I had to try this again, you know, woo, let's go, let's get married again, to, you know. So in other words, what I'm going to say is that I've been married and divorced, I've been through different houses, I've been through, you know, jobs, all the good times, bad times. But first and foremost, not pick up that first one, because it's not that 10th one that's going to get you. Oh, I did three. No, it's that first one, you know. I quit smoking in 2002. You know, we went to a world convention in Portland, and I quit smoking. I couldn't answer the phone without coughing, and it was like, what the hell am I doing this for? I bought a really neat motorcycle with the money I saved from smoking, man. Chrome or cigarettes? Chrome or cigarette? Which way are you going to go, man? Amazing. And I don't say it in a, like any other sense except that truly amazing, you know? Cocaine Anonymous has given me the ability to be a person, to be a father, a coworker, a boyfriend. give me an ability to live life, you know, to go buy a cheeseburger when I'm hungry, man. I can go buy one, you know? I couldn't do that. I could not do that. You know, if I'm hungry, I can eat. You know, like I said, look, no holes, man. You know, this past year, well, no, I'll just say a couple years. I've had some back problems. And after my back, I was diagnosed with cancer last year, man. I'm talking to another guy at a meeting, and he's telling me how he's going through chemo and radiation because he has this lump on his throat, you know? And you're talking, and I touch my throat. What the hell? I got a lump on my throat, right? And right away, I called the doctor, you know? I never went to the doctor when I was out there, no way. You know, but I'm grateful. Today, I can go to the doctor and tell him I'm a dope fiend. You know, don't give me that stuff, you know, or, you know. Anyway, it turned out I have cancer in my... No, they told me, no, it wasn't no cancer. It was just a tumor, but it's got to come out, you know? Okay, take it out, man. So they take it out. I go to get the stitches out a week later. Oh, I got bad news for you. What? You got cancer in your lump, whatever the heck. Well, you did tests. Well, let me use the pizza story, he says. Well, you buy a pizza with half cheese, half sausage on it. Well, you don't really know if there's sausage on the cheese side. I'm like, I get it, man. All right, now what, you know? So I went through the chemo and the radiation and what the stuff they told me to do. Last week, I was told that I'm cancer-free. I'm 9 months. Thank you. I'm 9 months cancer-free. I'm like, no way, man. Thank you. In July, I had my nose fixed. Cocaine did a number on my nose. And just last Friday they said they're gonna do fusion on my back and fix that. I'm like, no way, I turned 50. I'm getting ready for my next 50, man. And you know, drugs and alcohol didn't take me out. Cancer didn't take me out. I'm truly living a life with a boatload of gratitude. And I make jokes. Sometimes I go, beep, 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 beep. What's that? Well, that's the gratitude truck backing up and dumping all over me, man. You know what? Yeah, like I said, drugs and alcohol didn't take me out. Cancer didn't take me out. I'm living a life that far surpasses anything I ever thought it was going to be like. With a boatload of gratitude, you know, I got a higher power in my life that wants nothing but the best for me. I got great people in my life, Cocaine Anonymous, these 12 steps. People that come and ask me to come to Milwaukee and be the speaker. What? Oh my gosh, you know, that right there, that's like, oh, blow me away, you know? Work is going well. You know, I'm sharing with my girlfriend on the way up here that, and I don't say in any other sense except total gratitude, man, that sometimes people call and they say, no, we'll wait till tomorrow till Rick's available to come. And what the heck? Somebody wants me to come there? Yeah. It's, and I'm not saying it in any way other than thank you, God. Thank you, Cocaine Anonymous, and thank all your great people, you know, for saving my life. You know what, I hope somebody got something out of what I, you know, I'm gonna tell you, say, is that if this dope fiend can stay sober, anybody can. Anybody can get sober and stay sober. Cause I'm not the smartest guy, I'm not the book smart, you don't have to like know what the hell you're reading, cause I surely didn't, I couldn't even read. But, you know what guys, I love y'all. Thank you for saving my life. And that's all I got. Thank you.